Hello, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, mate?
Very good, very good. It's been a while. Good to see you again. The beard's
Yeah, good
looking
couple of years. Yeah, thanks,
powerful.
man.
Very
Thanks,
powerful.
man. For those who listen to the audio version of this, they can't see me, but I've got a pretty big ginger lumberjack beard.
Yeah.
But and you're living in Canada now, so it should be the other way around, really.
Well, I've got a patchy situation on it, and we try to grow, but it's not,
Yeah.
looks like bum fluff. But anyway, let's get
Yeah,
cracking.
anyway. Yeah, man.
So this lockdown, how have you found it, and like what have you been doing with your time?
I found it all right, actually. Obviously, it's, no one likes to be told they have to stay at home and not go out and see their friends, but it's been all right. I think a lot of people have been fairly emotional about it. There's been a lot of anxiety going on, but I generally don't suffer from anything like that. But with that in mind, I've actually, I mean, I get restless and I need to work. I'm a bit of a workaholic. So I decided I was going to build myself a bit of an app, which is putting in kind of all the things that I do to help me sort of say physically and mentally well. Like I've been interested in this sort of, kind of personal development and basically optimizing human performance for as long as I know. Obviously, I've got a background in exercise and sports science, started out there, moved on to strength and conditioning. But a few years ago, particularly with a big relationship breakdown, I found myself sort of, just sort of really working on myself, and so I've done lots of reading and things like that. So I got more into a bit of mindfulness and things like that, and I've been blogging on that for a few years now. But so I decided I'd sort of condense all that information down, the recurring themes from my blog, and stick it in an app and give someone, like some people, a program to do. So it's called the Strong Body, Strong Mind Challenge. It's available or in Google Play and Apple stores. So check it out. Although, but you have to, my blog's called physiostrength.club. Check that out as well. If you want to find them app stores, you have to look for physiostrength, because I intend to build other products in and around it. So physiostrength in the app stores. And when you click on it, there's the first program is the Strong Body and Strong Mind Challenge.
Cool. So maybe let's like go through everything if we can in like
Yeah,
stages.
no
So you
worries.
said like meditation, breathing. So like the strong body challenge, like
Yeah, okay, so
can you give
strong
me a
body
taster?
fit. Yeah. Strong body. So obviously my background is exercise, and exercise is kind of the ultimate panacea for everything. So I think if you just did 6 weeks of intense focused exercise, you'd probably, you'd improve your physical, but also, it's good for the mind. Like, we know, having, read scientific literature on pain and education and everything. Every exercise fixes everything, so that's good. But also, with my background in personal training, I have obviously got into, weight loss and things like that. And so alongside that, nutrition and things like that. So I've put together a few nutrition guides. There's your 6 week, I've got a 6 week nutrition plan. You just have to follow, buy what it says on the list, and just make the meal. Monday you make that meal, Tuesday you make those meals, work through that. So that's your kind of average fitness app. That's not particularly novel. I think, the exercises are a body weight. So particularly, in lockdown and things like that, I want people to be able to do it, anywhere, in their homes, in their backyards, but also, you can do it in the gym. And I think going forward, and people start to get out a bit, this is supposed to be like, everything in your pocket, the strength coach, the physio, the guru, the life coach, all in your pocket. So I wanted things that you could, take it anywhere and do it anywhere, anytime. So because it's really for it's I've really drilled it down for busy corporate guys, like, who don't really have a lot of time. So maybe they're working from home now and not going to their gym, so that's why I gave them. But as they sort of start to come out, they start to travel around. If they can do it in the hotel room, they can do it anywhere. But anyway, so that's why it is at the moment, it's body weight exercises, nutrition, and then I introduced some mindfulness stuff. So there's some mindfulness meditations in there, some guided meditations to help get your head right. There's some other sort of mental and physical resilience challenges, getting you used to adversity, getting used to feeling slightly uncomfortable. Now, exercise, once again, great thing. If you learn to enjoy the discomfort, and not and, and sort of you have to go through discomfort to achieve anything, to have any. So there's a bit of mental stuff and physical stuff in there. It crosses over to a little bit of Stoic philosophy, which is similar to that. Like, if you can, this too will pass, and if you can get through this, don't enjoy all the. I mean, I don't really particularly mention that in the app, but being enjoying and getting through discomfort forms a massive part of Stoic philosophy. So there's that in there, the sleep, there's a whole week on sleep and general kind of happiness stuff as well. Nice. So there's a whole week on how to improve your happiness. And there's a massive crossover. Like, you know, it's all synergistic. You get your exercise right, you get your nutrition right, you start to think better, you start to move better, you start to sleep better. Everything sort of leads into each other.
Yeah. It sounds like you're talking about being comfortable, being uncomfortable when you're talking about some of the Stoic philosophy.
Definitely. There's some practices deliberately making yourself uncomfortable. That serves massive part of the Stoic philosophy. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Stoic, but I've read in and around it, and I think it crosses over a lot of my general philosophy of, you know, like, I think there's a great book behind me here called The Obstacles Away by Ryan Holiday, and he's massively influenced by the Stoics, and that's a great book, and then it refers to, like, you know, getting used to being uncomfortable, getting used to taking the difficult part. The difficult part will probably lead to happiness, and that's something I do mention in, like, the Happiness Week. Like, people don't get happy by having lots of money and earning a hell of a lot of stuff, particularly if they end up isolating themselves. So you can have a nice, you know, if you can have a nice big house, you know, and a nice bit of land, but then you never see your neighbors, you're probably going to be more unhappy than if you live in, like, with your grandma and your son and your daughter and everything. Those kind of, you know, kind of real kind of community that generally brings a lot of happiness and things like that. So I touch on that a bit as well.
Because
from your question there, but
no, it's good. It made sense. Have you heard of a guy called I'm probably butchering the name, Jia Jing, and he's got a TED talk on rejection therapy.
No. I mean, there's a lot. I point out quite a few TED talks on happiness. Like, there's one, the longest study on happiness, and they talked about relationships, and that's what they basically. They think what they started following guys who went to Harvard in the 40s or something like that. And they sort of checked in with them every 5 years or something like that. And then they also started following people who grew up in sort of less socioeconomic places in Boston. Yeah. So they're like, okay, well, you were 20 in Boston in this year. So we're going to take both of you and we're going to move forward. And they found that regardless of, you know, the people who went to the Ivy League school, or they grew up in the projects in Boston, relationships are the thing that brings the greatest happiness. They found that's like a 70-year study that's still going to this day. They eventually started including the wives, but so it's not just men. Originally, it was men who went to Harvard, but they include the wives, and it seems to cross that's over cool. the genders.
And about, like, sleep, have you read Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep? I haven't read it yet, but everyone's
talking about it. Yeah. So I've certainly heard him in the interview a fair bit, like. I think I probably took something from that. I've got my week on sleep, and I definitely draw from he's not the only one saying it, but I haven't read his book, but I'm sure I'm missing the trick by not reading it, but it's definitely on my reading list. But
I think it's good, this app, because I mean, if this has helped you through life, then I think it's always better, I think, to share something that you've actually done, because a lot of people can say, like, Yeah.
I can completely relate to it. Like, I'm my ideal customer, but with the knowledge that my ideal customer doesn't have, you know, and that's always a great way to, you know, sell, not sell, like, I don't mean like, you know, I just mean like to relate to your, you know, and people have faith that, you know, what you're talking about, you know, because I've been there and I've done it. So
And, like, the meditation, I want to ask more about this. Like, a lot of people think you have to do, which isn't nothing wrong with that, this one, getting in the cross-legged position. But, like, what other forms do you know of and do you use? Because it's just being present, right? It could be
There's something, there's mindfulness and then there's meditation. Like, mindfulness meditation is probably one of the most popular ones, and the one that I actually try to, that I use in the app, but the actual meditation that I've got is it's guided, and I'll be honest, it goes off a bit, it gets slightly longer. So I start off with like a little 9-minute meditation, and that's that is a real kind of just stay mindful, stay mindful, stay mindful. It's not that's not the recording. Stay mindful, Very mindful. No, but it talks through it, and you know, and then paying attention to what's going around you, sounds and things, and paying attention to your breath, and that's what most people know about. But then, and I sort of stretch it out a bit, and it goes to a sort of 26 minute, and that kind of does sort of discuss a little bit more about like different types of, it's almost like even though you're sitting there doing a mindfulness meditation, it becomes a little bit wordy. Like most guided meditations are, and just remember this, bring it, even if your thoughts have drifted, just bring it back to your breath now.
Mm.
And there's a pause, and then they, and maybe listen to the sounds in the room, you know, like, and that, there's all that, but there's also this bit kind of 15 minutes in where the guy did the meditation, so I was sort of chatting a bit about like the different ways to be mindful. And I mentioned that in my mindfulness week. And that's about, I mean, literally what it is. Like, it's so funny because people find meditation so hard. And I did. Everyone finds meditation hard initially. But it's about recognize. I think people could try to control their thoughts, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about controlling them necessarily and beating yourself up every single time you have a thought. Oh, I'm thinking again, damn it. Like, it's about recognizing it for what it is. It's just a thought. And it can come and it can go, and it isn't you. Like, there's a little bit in the like, it's, you know, and it's about finding, it's about consciousness, essentially what it is. It's being aware that, you know, we all walk around in this as conscious beings, but nothing defines us as those beings. You know, your thoughts don't define you and everything else outside that. So to try to come back to answering your question, being mindful involves just literally knowing that, being aware of, you aren't angry, you're feeling anger, you know, you're not happy, you're just feeling happy, you know, you aren't your thoughts, you aren't your emotions, and that kind of is the crux of mindfulness and recognizing, and why it helps you in your kind of mental performance and everyday performance, because you realize that, you know, you don't have to be that thing, that, you know, that emotion, and you don't have to be slave to that emotion either. Like, it doesn't have to control. You can recognize and go, and you can step outside yourself a bit, and that's kind of, you know, when it crosses over into like consciousness, everything, you know, you're observing your life, but it gets a bit weird or woo-woo. I don't know if it's woo-woo, but you know, where is that consciousness coming from? And that's the great debate. That is the great debate. Where are you observing the world from? I'm struggling. I'm not even that pissed, and maybe I'm not pissed enough. Where are you absorbing? Because it's not like, you know, in my meditation, you know, in the, when I said it starts to go off a bit of like being less about just stay present. They talk about, you know, where are you? And, you know, are you behind your eyes? And are you in your head? Or you're not, because you can always, there's always a further place you can pull yourself back to, you know. And, you know, it's the best I come up with a little spot in the middle of my brain. But where is that spot? Because you could pull apart my brain and you wouldn't find that spot. You know,
it's true, that's the
great philosophy of consciousness, though, which I don't really touch on, and I don't really know a lot about. But I'm, you know, like, I've just got this app's just like my tools. I'm not an expert in anything. I am an expert in some things, but not this this thing. You know,
sometimes I think you don't need to be an expert. It's just like, if something works for you and you share it, and then it can help someone else, then, you know, you don't have to know everything about everything necessarily.
No. That's what it was intended with. Like, do this. Like, it's supposed to be something that everyone can do. Like, they're practice. Like, it's not go to the ashram or go on a retreat and don't talk for 48 hours or a week or something like that. Like, you can do that too, and I'm sure you'd be incredibly mindful at the end of it. I've never done it. I've considered doing it. You know, don't know if I've got the cojones to actually go and do it, but. And everyone could do the things that are, it's like breathing and, you know, making yourself slightly uncomfortable.
It's interesting. Continue.
No. But it's a lot more complicated than that. So people should buy the app. Don't just keep breathing it and just sort of, you know, rub yourself and make yourself uncomfortable. Sit on a hard chair and just do lots of breathing. Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's funny what you said about, like, when people maybe do this stuff to the extreme. Like, it, for example, there's one lady, Clara Hermit, interesting lady. She used to be a presenter, and presenter on Channel 4, I think. Anyway, she did this thing where she went to basically a place in South America and just stayed in a dark room for like a week and didn't speak.
Fucking hell.
It's on a YouTube. And I think, like, I can see how that could work because you've got to deal with your mind. You've got to be one of your mind, all of your thoughts. But I'd be interested to know how she felt when she came back into, like, so-called civilization. Like, if it was too much or if it helps. Because those things appealed to me as well, thinking, let's just go, you know, full tilt and let's see what happens. Yeah.
But then I don't know. It's interesting. I've never thought about it. Maybe it's, maybe it's like drugs, though. Like, you know, maybe it's like, if people who have drugs, I'm not recommending people take drugs, but like people end up going, they get addicted, don't they? Maybe that's just it. And then they have to come back to the real world.
Mm,
and they're like,
too much.
So much better when I was high. Like, and then they keep going and going. So I don't know, like, though some people say, you know, like there's now research coming out of John Hoskins saying like, you know, illicit drugs like LSD and ecstasy and thing can have positive effects on people with mental health conditions. Now, I'm not advocating anyone should go out and just start taking drugs, but you know, it used to be that, you know, the hippies just took some drugs and they dropped out and they, you know, and then they expanded their minds. But that's actually starting to come to fruition now. Like, it's possible. But so there are benefits to taking some drugs, apparently, under the guidance of a medical professional, of course. But like, I think possibly, maybe that's it. Maybe you go sit and go, oh my God, I got so in contact with my thoughts. And now I just want to go sit in a dark room again. And that's not productive, is it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's because it's even like, I don't know if you watched London Real. Have you seen London Real?
Oh, I have, but I don't really watch it,
Don't watch it. Because the guy there, he's had like DMT, ayahuasca, stuff like this. He seems to think it's helped him. But then you watch his, when he's come back, he still has, everyone has issues with people, with humans, but I feel, it's just an interesting, topic. And there was another man on a documentary called The Spirit Molecule. And he went away. And there's a book about it as well. I forgot the author. But he basically, again, took ayahuasca and he came back to where he lived in America and he couldn't handle life. And his wife was saying, look, you can't just do this every day. You've got me, you've got the kids, but then other people have different experiences, more positive. So it's interesting.
If you want to go off on that topic for a while, I've listened to people talk on different podcasts, Tim Ferriss, Joe Rogan. There's one guy who's the guy who runs On It. I forget his name, but he's very much into On It's like a human performance supplements and kettlebells and like actually Joe Rogan's company. I forget he's eluding me now, but he's massively into like, you know, transcendental experiences and ayahuasca and going down to, he lives in America, so he goes down to Central America and he has these experiences and they sound heinous, but like transformative. Like, you know, like he just was constantly pooing himself or something like that. You know, like all night, you know, and couldn't control it. And maybe that's the extreme discomfort level, you know, like don't just make yourself really, and then kind of go, well, if I got through that, it's supposed to be like, it's like a physical and an emotional purge. I don't know. I've never done any of this sort of stuff. I'd be interested to try it, you know, in the right context and the right environment. But I've never done it. But
Yes, it's interesting. It's interesting. So what other things are you like reading and watching at the moment? Would you like...
Well, if you want to know, actually, you should subscribe to my newsletter that I publish.
I've got it.
Yeah, I know. The best bits. Thanks, man. Just pop them up. I'll just smack it over the fence. Yeah. No. So, if you go to my blog, you can click on and sign up for my newsletter, The Best Bits. Now, what am I doing this bit? I haven't done one. I'll be honest. I've been so busy, like, getting the app out there and developing it that I haven't done one in a while. It was on my radar to do it today, but then I'm chatting to you. So we'll see. I might get one out later today. But what am I getting? I'm reading at the moment The Truth by Neil Strauss, which is about relationships. So Neil Strauss, if you don't know, or those out there who don't know, he wrote The Game, which was the... phone's ringing.
Old school.
1 second. I'm just going to pause this, and then I'm going to answer it. We'll be back in a second, all right? Okay, cool. I think we're back now. Yeah, so I'm reading about the Truth by Neil Strauss. And I'll be honest, like I haven't done much reading in lockdown because my reading is normally done either audiobook driving on my commute. So, but I've actually made a conscious effort in the last week to sort of get back into reading. So, like, this is a book I took away in December when we went to Australia last January, and I haven't got through it. But anyway, it's about relationships. He made his name and his money by writing The Game. Came out, I think, when I first moved to London in about 2004. And it was all the guys reading it, and it's all about, you know, how to pick up women. And he came one of, you know, he's a journalist, and he's a music journalist, and he became one of America's best pickup artists or something. And he's just this weedy little ball bloke. But then, as probably could be predicted, he ended up being a sex addict, and then he destroyed his...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then so he ends up, he puts stuff into therapy. And at the moment, like the first few chapters about him being in therapy. But then it's interesting because the actual book is about relationships and every relationship. So he ends up with, it sounds like I'm doing a podcast. I should be promoting Neil Strauss's work now. So I think he ended up in a weird, like, I forget what it's called, like emotional incest with his mother. So basically his father was a bit of a dead shit. And so his mother sort of made him take on the male partner.
Yeah.
So that kind of probably what predisposed him to being a sex addict. And then apparently he then goes off and he does other, because he's like almost like a gonzo journalist, like with The Game he just joined a pickup. He used to be a music journalist, so Almost Famous, you know, you just travel with a band for a while and you write about them.
Mm-hmm.
So he did that, and then he was just got to hang out with like these pickup artists and write an article about it. He ended up writing a whole book and became one of them. So then he actually, I think later in the book, he's going to sort of start going into like polyamory and things like that, and different types of relationships. And so that's what I'm reading. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very like, I don't know, Freudian or Jungian, saying that like, you know, your earliest experiences, they're going to shape you moving forward.
Massively. They are. I think, I'm not a parent, but I think you can't help but, you know, ruin your kids, basically. Whatever you do, like my parents are great, but they, you know, I'm still carrying baggage from them. Like nothing serious, nothing
Everyone
bad.
Is, though. Yeah,
exactly. It's like, because that's, you know, that's your foundation, and I think I mean, I know that, you know, in a previous relationship, like I like a Brady Bunch upbringing, so I just assume, like, and on the telly, everyone had a Brady Bunch upbringing, like, so I just assumed everyone had that upbringing, you know, that nice nuclear family. And I remember that was one of the first kind of adult life lessons I had, where I'm like, oh, not everyone has a mum and a dad, and, you know, who aren't broken up and like and gets on with their siblings, you know, and most people don't, like, you know, like,
it's very common. So, yeah,
like, you know, so but even that's left me, you know, with things I have to get over, you know, like, that's just you know, like, what for? It's stupid little stuff, you know, like, you know, you're like back in the 80s and 90s, like, men weren't that affectionate. I'll say my dad isn't an affectionate guy, but it's just what you think that a guy's supposed to be, and then you're like, oh, maybe not, you know, like, you know, it's just, you know, you just have to work through stuff regardless of
you
know, like
a lot of conditioning, isn't there? And then as you get older, you feel like well, you can be a slave to it, or you can be open-minded and think maybe there's another way to do something, or maybe it is the right way. But just
it can go both ways, right? Like, because you can have an idyllic upbringing, like I did, and then so you just assume that that's the way the world is, as I said. But even things like we're talking about relationships, like, I just assumed that I would grow up to meet a nice girl and we'd have a few kids, and by this age I'd be settled down. And now I'm like realizing, you know what? Like, a lot of my friends are going, you know, like, some of my friends, we don't want children. And I'm like, like, you know, like, I haven't decided whether I want children or not, you know, like, but the people making those conscious decisions, but they weren't doing it. I never saw anyone not making those decisions when I was growing up, you know. I just assumed. So I have to go, as an adult, I've had to go, you know what? I don't have to be my parents. Like, you know, like, I mean, I want the life my parents had when I'm in my 70s, but I don't have to have it, you know, like,
no pressure.
I just, but through my whole, most of my life, I thought that that's where I was going, you know, like, so, it comes into everything, you know, it comes into work, it comes into everything else, you know, like, your parents, if your parents' attitude to, you know, how to make a living and what makes a successful life will influence yours. And sometimes you go, actually, I don't want that, or I do want that, but I want it slightly differently. And then the world changes, you know. Our parents didn't have, my parents couldn't have developed an app when they were my age.
It was impossible.
Impossible, you know, like, so it's just how it is, you know. You just got to take stock and make your own decisions,
A little off topic. Have you heard of Dan Pena? Have you heard of him?
don't know. Maybe no.
He's like, he calls himself the $50 billion man. He's always on London Real. And he's like, he's a very hard man, very strict. And he'll try and find people's buttons, push it till the cows come home and make you go, like, make you just lose yourself. But his whole thing, in a way, is like, you need to find your conditioning, the things that aren't working for you, become aware of it so that you can improve. So, I don't know, maybe you're someone who grew up without parents, or you didn't believe that money came easily or that it was possible to make money. So you have to understand, okay, I think this because of my conditioning. Not to say that it isn't hard for some people to make money, because the world isn't fair. But if you understand how much you're holding yourself back and maybe use things like affirmations, etc., then maybe you can rewrite your brain, your subconscious. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like,
no, massively. That's kind of what I was getting at, you know, like, that's kind of, basically what I was getting at. Like, you need to recognize, you know, what your biases are. That's, we all got biases and we all can't help it, you know, but you need to be aware of them. You know, as a physiotherapist, I have biases about treatment techniques. And, you know, someone's like, oh, you know, I'm all about manual therapy. And someone's all about exercise. And someone's all about, you know, Pilates. And someone's all about, but that's your biases. It's what you like to do, what you do. And as long as it's effective and you can clinically reason as a physio why you're doing it, then it's fine. But as long as you recognize that, you know, that's your biases and that's why you go towards that, that's fine. And now if you discover you have a bias that you don't particularly like you think, I don't want to have a 9-to-5 job, you know, I want to be an artist, you know, but maybe that's a classic one. You know, you grow up, you know, and you want to be an actor or a singer, and your parents are like, no, you need a 9-to-5. Well, you want to be a footballer, and your parents are like, no, you need a 9-to-5, you know, like, you know, but that's it, you know, like, but that's your passion and you can make it work for you, then go for it.
Biases, again, in the physio world, what do you think that holds a lot of people back? Like, obviously I'm not in the game anymore, but when I was, I felt like a few people, everyone's got an ego, but sometimes ego held people back from maybe doing other treatments that could have been beneficial. It's like, no, like you said, I'm manual therapy or I'm this, and it's like, well, maybe this could work as well. Do you feel that helped some physios back? You don't have to answer that if that's too...
it's not too deep at all. Do I think it holds physios back?
In terms of, like, they could improve a treatment and they could improve the treatment for the patient by being more open-minded opposed to saying, no, I do this and this is how...
Without turning this into a physiotherapy podcast, but, you know, like, yeah, I think, I mean, Adam Meekins, who's like, don't do manual therapy and I just do exercise. Like, he published a recent blog on it going, look, I recognize that is my bias. But the reason it is my bias is because of as I touched on, you know, the panacea that exercise is. It does everything. So if manual therapy or, you know, like mindfulness or, you know, it helps with pain or whatever it happens to be, or exercise helps with pain, then and there's no one reason why it's better than the other, you have to go with your biases. But as long as you recognize it's your bias, so yeah, maybe it could help hold people back. I don't know, like, I try not to let it hold me back. I know I massively have an exercise bias because that's my background. I always have. I came from that. And then I had to, like, well, you know, I had to learn the other the manual therapy, physiotherapy skills and the assessment skills. But I came into physio with the exercise skills. So I felt like I was just vindicated having those skills when, like, you know, every single piece of research you read says, well, exercise is good for this, you know, like, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, you know, building muscle, pain, exercise helps, you know, we're supposed to move, you know, movement is medicine. So that's my bias, but I do some manual therapy, you know, I have biases when, you know, within manual therapy, like, it's not my bias, but within manual therapy, we have biases, you know, people go, oh, I love it, this kind of move, I really get it, I do this, you know, I love it when I really get on that bit and I do it like this, and it works, you know, because you're doing something, you know, like, so, and one's not better than the other. So, we all walk around massive biases. Does it hold people back? I'm sure it does. Good clinicians, it doesn't. And then, you know, I guess, you know, when you can start to specialise a bit. So, if that's your bias and that's what you want to do, then do that and be that person, you know. So, maybe it won't hold you back, maybe, because it seems like people want specialists, don't they?
That's true. Yeah. Back to the app, though, because I know I went off topic a little bit. Would you ever put everything you've learned in, like, book format. Like, for example, there's a, I don't know if you ever watch SAS Who Dares Wins. Have you seen that?
No.
So
I've seen it. I've heard of it. I don't watch it.
There's a guy on there called Ollie Ollerton, and he's like quite a deep dude, spiritual dude, and he's learned a lot in his life, and he's put a lot of similar lessons to what you're talking about into like a book called Battle Ready, and it gives you like, it's like the app though. It gives you little challenges to do and little tidbits of information, and you know, but it's in book form. Would you branch out into that avenue or?
Possibly. I think I did the app because I wanted to write a book. And then I can generally tell. Actually, you just reminded me. I remember going, I've been wanting to write a book for ages. I've been inspired by you because you published a book. And I thought, well, you know, like, it, you know, like maybe I could put something out there. And it wouldn't have been this app book, but it would have been, I want to get a book. I want to write a book. I'm sitting around doing nothing. I'll write a book. And then I'm like, no, you know what? I'll produce an app instead. Mm-hmm. So, don't know if that answers your question, but
It's completely. But the thing is, the app, I think now a lot of people, there's a lot of people into books. Obviously the revenue for books every year is huge. It's bigger than music, I believe, but like an app is just so convenient. I think it's a good route to take. Definitely. Yeah. And I will check it out. You send me the link. I will be looking at it. 100%. 100%.
Well, it's kind of good that you didn't, because then you can ask me questions, and it doesn't have to be fake. Like, why don't you tell me about that really good week where I did the mindfulness? There's a mindfulness week. No, it's all through there. But do so.
Yeah. So, like, again, back to the exercises. I'm just interested. I'm just got thoughts coming from my head. What bodyweight exercises, are you doing at the moment? Like pull-ups, chin-ups, what? Like
No pull-ups. The problem is back's quite hard to do at home unless you've got... If you've got a pull-up bar, that's amazing. Like, and you can do some amazing stuff on the pull-up bar. I wish I had a pull-up bar. But I've written my app without a pull-up bar.
Makes sense.
I put myself through my program, so I've been doing a lot of that recently. But also I had like a TRX, so I started lockdown before I really started to develop the app. I think I need to do it with no equipment. I was doing a bit of TRX stuff. There's a lot of press ups in the app because it's one of the things you could easily do, press up variations, planks, you know, side plank, that kind of thing, you know. And so there's some novel different ones that I think maybe some people wouldn't have seen before, because I mean, I used to do boot camps, so that's where it's come from as well. Like, because I've boot camps, you know, I've got 20 people in a field, I'm like, well, how am I going to work them out? So, I've had, you know, whole life's work has come into this app, you know. So I'd be like, same thing, I'd be like, well, I've got a pull up bar, I haven't got like some dumbbells to row here, I can pull out some bands and stuff, and sometimes you would do, but like, partner's always quite good to work when you're pulling and pushing and things like that, but this is the issue. So I didn't have that for the app. So I had to be quite creative it's creative, but it's also repetitive in some ways. You know, like there is, as I said, there's a lot of press up. So if you know, if you don't like
press
up.
Yeah,
but
give you structure, no? Because a lot of people don't know what to do, so it's good
No, and they don't know when to do it either, and they don't know how to split it, and they don't know, you know, they don't have the understanding of the body and how it's going to adapt and recover. So maybe people would look at my program and go, there seems to be a lot of press ups, for example, but there's not a lot of something else, and why is that, you know? And hopefully I've got the answers to that, you know. I guess that's good.
I think it's very good you've done this, because a lot of people, hopefully not, have a lot of people may have wasted their time in this period. Maybe on, I don't know.
Possibly. I don't know what I honestly, I mean, I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have just, like, maybe I had a better answer to you. What are you watching? I'm still reading the same book from 6 months ago. What am I watching? I discovered a new program the other day, last night. I can't remember what it's called now. So I got into that the first few seasons. What's it called? It's about a guy who's like, I mean, it's Blacklist. Blacklist, I recommend that.
Oh, Reddington.
Yeah.
Mate. Because I was watching this a while ago, and I wanted I don't want to spoil stuff for you, but there's a certain part of the storyline, and you just want to know the freaking answer. And I don't know if they've given the answer yet. I'm in the middle of it. I was in the middle of it, like seasons.
I liked it so far. I've only watched like 3 episodes last night. I like, one of my favorite shows was Person of Interest, and it's similar to that. If you liked Blacklist at all, check out Person of Interest. The premise of that is that it's like a billionaire guy who developed an observation system for the government. Mm. So basically it taps into all the technology and it's supposed to predict terrorist attacks. But yeah, it's artificial intelligence. So it becomes like, so it's called, I can't remember what it's called. So that's called The App, right? The App is a character in a show, like, because it feeds information out, like, and so the premise is this guy sort of he's a recluse, and then he recruits another guy who sort of went off the rails a bit, but he's ex-military, and then he goes around, and what he, because the machine, I knew it had something easy name, the machine spits out like a social security number, and then they either know that person's got to be killed in the next 48 hours, or murder someone, and they don't know, so they've got to infiltrate their lives and work out, either stop them being killed or stop them killing. Mm. But the cool thing then is that, but then there's a massive amount of plot progression as well as character development, like good people become bad guys and good guys become bad guys, and like things all change up. And so it's one of the ladies, was that the one with the black girls who worked at NASA do the movie?
I've never watched it. I know Hidden Something.
Hidden Figures, yeah, yeah.
Hidden Figures. So
one of the girls, I can't remember her name, Mitch. One of the girls in that.
Taraji P. Henson, maybe?
Yeah, her.
Is it her?
Taraji's in, she's amazing in it. Okay. She's in the first few seasons, and then she kind of goes away, but.
Yeah.
And then, and things like that develop. Yeah, it's good.
I've done well on Netflix recently because, I mean, there was a stage a few years back and it was just, when you see the screen, do you want to watch the next episode? And you think, I should be doing something like that. So
that would have been me if I hadn't done that app. Like, I would have rinsed everything. I probably would have, like, seen every, you know those shows that everyone's been telling you to watch and you never got around to it? Like, what's that one, the guys on motorbikes and things like that? Even if it was a bit average, you'd still be like,
oh, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. I probably would have rinsed that by now if I hadn't developed a map. Mm. You know, like I would. But I'd probably be a lot fatter. Actually, I've been sitting around just as much, but like, I've been exercising. You know, I pretend like me sitting in front of a computer working on an app is different from me sitting on a couch. Like just.
I guess still like, sitting down.
Know, still sitting down, but I still try. I like to think I get up and move around. I mean, that was me at the start of lockdown, right? I'm trying. I was doing a little bit of work, volunteering. My company was treating like NHS people, like. Mm-hmm. Same way we're talking now,
and so
I did that a bit, and then I just tried to stay active and, you know, have some structure and things like that. So but I didn't really sit around. I don't know, what did I do during the day? Exercise, and then I got into bike riding, held a lot of bike riding and things like that. So that's what I probably would have been doing. I bought the full lycra outfit. I watched Sons of Anarchy, and I would have, and I'd be like a mammal, a middle-aged man in lycra, like that would be. And I live in the right place. I live in Surrey, in England. And if there's anywhere, you know, like I'm the one in the car going, get out of my way, you know, because everyone's like backed up behind because there's narrow lanes and people cycling, you know. But now I'm one of them, so I can't really complain. But I've only got myself a little hybrid though. People go past, like people have decent bikes in there. The mammals go past me up the hills in their like races, and I'm like, come on, you know, I'm like, come on, getting up this hill, you know.
So. One day, you must have a decent crank, no? Because when I see them guys going up the hills, I think your bike's just going to end, you know. They're going at speed, so they must be, you know, very decent bikes. Like Mike and Rich from uni, obviously, they used to do all this stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
Triathlons and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, I thought it cut out there.
Sorry. That.
No, we can edit this. How long have we been going? 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, man. I don't think there's anything else.
No.
What's going on? What have you been doing with lockdown?
Me, mate. So teaching. So a lot of teaching English, lesson planning, exercise.
Yeah.
What else have I been doing? I want to start up a website, my own website. So I'm having.
What are you going to put on there?
It's going to be like, it's going to be for English students. So I want to just try and find like the best possible way of teaching students where they can just like look at a video and learn. Like there's a technical comprehensible input where basically people learn from listening to stories about real life situations. And I'm learning French. That's another thing. I'm learning French using this technique. So.
You live in Ontario, though, so you live in Ontario. You don't read French that much, but I guess if you went to convert. Yeah.
You're right. Since I've been here, I've maybe heard like 10 people on the street in 2 years speaking French.
I spent a fair bit of time in Toronto, like not as much as you have now, but like I never heard anyone. But everyone, all most Canadians can sort of bust out a bit of...
A little bit here and there, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just thought like in terms of like developing and... What's the word I'm looking for? Just developing. It's good to learn a new skill. Like if you don't use it, you lose it, as they say. And if you don't have a goal and don't try to reach something, I think you're going to be spending your time doing nonsense. Basically, there's so much distraction.
I mean, I might learn a language. I know my girl wanted to learn a language. She didn't.
What did she want to learn?
I don't know what she was going to. Oh, Lithuanian. Would you believe?
Oh wow.
Her sister-in-law is Lithuanian. Like her brother doesn't speak Lithuanian, but she's like, yeah, maybe I'll learn Lithuanian. Didn't happen. Well, she is. She's going to kill me.
We can edit this, man. It's all right. We can edit
it. Okay, it will stop 15 minutes ago.
Okay, let's think so we can stop this. Do you think we should have like a way to stop it, if that makes sense?
No, I don't know.
I'm thinking too much again. No, I'm easy, man. I think it was better. No, we're good. No, I think it sounds interesting what you're doing, what you've done. Like cool, asking you more questions now is like, I like it. I like it.
Cool. Maybe we'll sign off like that then. So.
All right. I'll get you
access to the app then. Maybe not access, but you can look at the website.
Yeah, no, I look at the website. Yeah. Do you know what, mate? Don't feel you have to give me anything. Cause like, I know it's a business. So you have to make, cause I know like, for example, I don't know with the book and stuff, like, I told some friends back home about it and they just like pied me off. So, and I know it's difficult starting. So don't worry about getting free. Don't worry about it.
No. I won't then.
Yeah, no, don't. Seriously. No. Okay, mate, we got to watch the game, no?
Yeah, I know. All right. I'll see you later.
No, we can do this. If you want to do this again or whatever else, let me know.
No, cool. Let's do it.
Okay. So
I'm sitting at home all day, every day at the moment. So whatever you want, man.
Okay. Mate, good seeing you.
Yeah, you too. See you later.
Take care, mate. Bye.